Welcome to the Hills Baptist Podcast. We're so glad you're joining us as we see Jesus glorified, lives transformed, and hope revealed in the Adelaide Hills and beyond. We hope you enjoy this message.
I'm thankful for this morning being a little bit different and giving that opportunity rather than the four songs, the announcements, and then the sermon. And it's good to change up our senses and to give our bodies a shake up, a wake up call in many respects, so that we engage in different ways. So I'm thankful that we were able to be flexible and that we were able to carve out time to pray for Sandra. And these are all aspects of discipleship. These are all aspects of us being the church to one another. But I was thinking about what to share this morning, and given that we're talking about discipleship, and Kim was talking about discipleship for the young kids, discipleship in families, and we are a young church with lots of young kids, and it's a beautiful and wonderful thing. So many people are blessed when they come to this church to see all the children, and we're so thankful for that. But how do we do discipleship more broadly? What is discipleship? How is it done? I didn't spend too much time looking at the meaning of the word discipleship, but my favorite definitions of discipleship was, it came from the old Jewish times with the rabbis, and you see this with Jesus and his disciples. They are being discipled by him and they're following him. And there's a saying that amongst the other students with their rabbis, they would say, "May your feet be covered in the dust of your rabbi. May your feet be covered in the dust of your rabbi." That's what it meant to be a disciple, that they walk so closely to their rabbi, walk so closely to the one that they were following, that they would get the dust from where they were walking onto their feet. A disciple as well, we talk about discipleship as such a warm and fuzzy term. What's the root word of disciple? Discipline. Discipline. Discipleship takes hard work. It takes effort. It takes discipline. We read through the New Testament on the theme of discipleship, and in a moment I'm just going to quickly walk through a couple of passages in Luke and Acts. But it's easy to read Acts and, you can turn one page and it's like in our minds, oh, this is happening so quickly. But remember, the Apostle Paul, after his conversion, he went away for 14 years before he came back into ministry. There was a lot of hard work, a lot of study that went in, of discipleship, hard disciplined work went in before he was ready to make more disciples as well. Discipleship takes time, it takes discipline. And there's so many practical ways to be discipled. If you this morning are feeling as though you need to be pulled out of a slump, or you need to get out of a rut, and you want support from the church of how to be a disciple, well, there's so many ways to be discipled. It's gathering like we are this morning. It's praying together, sitting under his word, worshipping him, declaring truths of who he is. The kids get discipled, the youth get discipled. What Hannah's doing with the Sunday crew, that's very intentional discipleship. More intimate study and relationship building with the 12 to 16-year-olds. Discipleship happens in small groups, in home groups, community groups. And sometimes you need, on top of that community, on top of what the church can offer, in a local setting, we've got resources. Hannah has set up a bit of a library there for people on the welcome desk. If there's any resources there, I'd highly recommend, if any of them resonate with you, partner with someone in reading that book together. Disciple one another in that. But that's being a disciple practically, being discipled and discipling others in a church setting. What's the greatest way to grow as a disciple? It's to actually live out what it means to be a disciple. To be a disciple is to make disciples. To make disciples. And we don't have to have everything together in order to be making disciples. The 12 disciples of Jesus' disciples in Luke chapter 9, he sent them out to go out and make more disciples, even though they didn't get it. This is pre-cross, pre-resurrection. And he's sending them out to make more disciples. As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. Making disciples makes you a disciple, because we've talked about this before, you become what you behold. You become what you practice. And we can make disciples not just in our families, in the church, with our neighbours, with workmates, with fellow school mums and dads, uni students, at school, in our own family. And so what I want to do this morning, just quickly walk through a couple passages, because we can talk about all the practical areas of discipleship. And that could have been what this morning's theme was. But if I ask a question, if you love Jesus and you're a follower of him, a disciple of him, you're walking closely behind him, that is your heart's desire. But when it comes to making disciples, to fulfill your purpose of being a disciple, how many of us lack the time as opposed to lacking the power? If you were to go out tomorrow, go out this afternoon, go out today, and go and make disciples, is your greatest hurdle your time, or is it power? Because we can talk about resources, we can talk about practical things all day. And I think, from what I can gather in this church setting, most of us would love to make disciples, but what we lack, we can be built up in the practical things, but what we lack is the unction. Who loves that word, unction? We lack the unction, the power to speak, the authority to speak. And so to be the disciple that you're meant to be a disciple maker that you've been called to be, would everyone agree here that you'd want to be filled with the Spirit? I'm going to race through some passages in Luke and Acts, because Luke, the author of the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostle, he has this major theme of the Holy Spirit and his work in proclaiming Jesus and the church being built up. John the Baptist, Luke chapter 1, verse 1:15, and I'm just going to go through all the verses where it says filled with the Spirit. We don't have time to look at all the verses that say, you know, the Spirit was with them, or the Spirit will be with you. Just those key phrases, filled with the Spirit. John the Baptist, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Elizabeth, when Mary came to meet her, Luke chapter 1, 41-45, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the blessing is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment that was spoken to her from the Lord." Zechariah, father of John the Baptist, Luke 1, 67-79, and his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." We've got Simeon, same thing. Let's skip to Acts, the 120 disciples at Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Chapter 4, verse 8, Peter. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this man standing before you is well.'" Believers in chapter 4, verse 31. "And when they had prayed, the place in which they had gathered together, it was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." Chapter 13, 9-11. "But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him," at Elymais. So sorry, some of the verses have been cut off. "He looked at Elymais and rebuked him. The disciples in Pisidian Antioch, Acts 13:52. Some of the verses are cut off. 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. This is in the face of persecution. Does anyone notice any themes across those passages that we read out? There's one other passage that says Ananias was filled with the Holy Spirit. But those are all the passages in Luke and Acts that says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I think quite often the hurdle to make disciples and to do disciple making, even just for me, just to pray with my kids, I don't feel like I'm in the right place. I don't feel as though I've got the Holy Spirit empowering me at the moment, so I'm just going to put a Yoto on that they can listen to a story on their story cards. I don't get actively and intentionally involved in disciple making some nights because I don't feel like I've got the Holy Spirit's empowerment. It's not because I lack the adequacy, really, or lack the words. I know that's not as important as just doing it, so to speak. And I should just say as well, biblically, I believe, this church would believe, that you can have the Holy Spirit and you are saved. But there's obviously a difference in God's word between having and being filled, being under the control and the unction of the Holy Spirit. You don't need to be filled and be baptized in the Spirit for salvation. I want to clarify that before I say anything else. But I say that most of us would say, I'd love to go out and witness to this school mum. I'd love to go out and I'd love to just have a conversation with my neighbour. I would love to say this to my workmate, but I just feel a bit embarrassed to talk about my faith when I don't feel as though I'm in a place to do that. And what we'd want, rather, is we'd rather have an experience with Jesus. We want to have a validation of our faith, and then we would feel good about ourselves to share. But remember, I did it twice last year, in Isaiah 6 and Exodus 3, and there's other passages as well, where God reveals himself to Moses and God reveals himself to Isaiah, and we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Where does it ever say in God's word that someone's had an experience of the Holy Spirit? Where does it ever say in those passages we just read that someone was filled with the Holy Spirit and knew the presence of God in a very real way, they had an experience with him? Where does it ever say that they went away from that and went, I feel much better now, and I know my faith is real, and now I can share my faith. Now I can actually do something for God because I feel better. Because I feel validated and I feel affirmed. With Moses, with Isaiah, God reveals himself in a powerful and mighty way. What's the next thing he says? Go. Go. I've revealed myself to you to go. God never reveals himself to you and reveals his presence just so you can feel good, just so you can feel validated. He will build up your faith. But his main purpose is so that you will go. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to sing some songs. Ben's going to come up and sing. And with the people that you prayed with before, you're welcome to come and do it with me or with an elder or anyone that you're comfortable with. But I would like to spend some time at the end of our service praying for one another that we would be filled with the Spirit. Not just so that our faith would be built up, but so that we can go. So that we would not just be better disciples, but so that we can be disciple makers. So I invite the band up and I'll pray. But then after this, after we've sung and after we've closed, tea and coffee is available for those that would like to do that. That's totally fine. Just be mindful that I'm going to leave this space open for those that want to seek God to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that they can be the best disciples God's called them to be, fulfill their purpose as disciples, so that they can be filled with the Spirit to be disciple makers. And God could do anything. We talk about revival, we talk about the Holy Spirit breaking out. A lot of us have our presuppositions of what that might look like. People might have experiences. But some of us, we might also be prayed for and think, I don't feel any different. But we can trust God that He has filled us with His Holy Spirit, and in trust we go into this afternoon, we go into today, we go into this week and into this season of our life, trusting that God has empowered you to go. God has empowered you to speak, to proclaim, to prophesy, to rebuke. But what is the main theme of all those verses that we saw? That is to proclaim the goodness of God. It's to prophesy the goodness of God. It's to talk about His redemptive plan for Israel, for redemptive plan for the person that you're speaking to and wanting to disciple. It's to proclaim the gospel, the good news of Christ, to speak with an utterance that is not of, like, where did that come from? That is obviously of the Lord, because it wasn't you, it was the Holy Spirit that you gave authority and you surrendered authority to overtake you and to fill you with His presence. Let me pray and then we'll sing. Lord Jesus, I thank You for mornings like this where we can just reset, recalibrate. And I just ask that You would do something powerful in our midst this morning. That I know it's true for myself. I sometimes just want to have an experience. I want to know Your presence in a very real and wonderful way. And I think those that follow You would all confess that. And we covet those who say they have these sweet times of communion with You. And we want to be discipled by them. We want to know how it is that they have this relationship with You. And we covet that. We want that. Well, Lord, I pray that You just this morning, You'd strip away anything that's selfish in us that would seek Your presence. You'd strip away anything that would, we seek Your presence and we seek an experience so that we can just feel better. Thank You that You do build up our faith when we taste and see that You are good, when we experience it in a tangible and real way. But Lord, I pray that You would humble our hearts, that when what we're asking for is that You would fill us up for a purpose, and that You'd fill us up to be disciple makers, to see Your name glorified, to see lives transformed and hope revealed in the Adelaide Hills and beyond. Lord, bless this time as we worship. Bless this time for those of us who want to hang around and pray for one another and seek Your presence. Lord, bless this time as a body. I pray in Jesus' powerful name.
Thanks for listening to the Hills Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to partner with us in developing and equipping passionate disciples who love God, love people, and boldly share the gospel, you can do that at hillsbaptist.com/giving. We pray this message has empowered you to live and love more like Jesus. Have an amazing day.